I'm in 5 halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
This is Christiane, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Stokes.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly. Never take a child to life. Better place in a broken dream.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a post-Royal Rumble review of, well, the Royal Rumble, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with Wrestle Talk Radio. I am the man who I am Mace. I have with me tonight the man who is next to his car lead to eliminate him from the Royal Rumble, that is Omega.
Go
we
ahead.
We have the man who's just come back from the bar because he's glad that he didn't have to chug for a Cena win, William McConnell.
Yes! Fuck Cena, you hear that sound? That's the Cena. That's the sound of Cena not winning! Yes!
Now, surprise number 30 entrant, the Spud Guy.
That's right. That's right. I went all the way from number 30 to, well, number 30. But, hey, I want partial credit for calling it, because I said last week that I thought that the winner this year was going to be a surprise. It was going to be something someone nobody expected. And, well, it was Edge, and we all knew he was returning. And there was some thought that he might win. I think it was a surprise to most that he actually won.
Spug, we're still doing the intros, mate. Hold off until after the intros. And Ben, who has said vintage more times tonight than Michael Cole, the OLD, O-N-E, Mr. Timmy Stein.
You're really going to have to change that. You know, enough with the old jokes.
Well, give us something new, you old bastard.
Listen, I felt 20 years old when I got up this morning, and then she had to go home and study for her university exam. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's a post-Rumble pay-per-view edition. And as we slowly start getting into what's going on, we'll have more and more people slowly trickle in to the chat room from listening to other webcasts that were going on during the Rumble, but you know what? Everybody's got an opinion. Opinions and assholes. Everybody's got one. And let me tell you, some of them really, really smell. You got an opinion about the Royal Rumble, we're going to give you a an opportunity to call in on the toll-free line or via Skype a little bit later on tonight and give you your thoughts and feelings and opinions and all that other shit going on about the Rumble tonight. I know for a fact there are some of you that are saying it's shit, WWE sucks, the Rumble was good, but the rest of it, and then there's going to be some of you that are like, oh, it made me so wet because it was just awesome. And then some are like, yeah, it's WWE, what do you want? And like I said, you know, you got
well,
your
vintage.
Yeah, we didn't, that's the one complaint that I have tonight, we didn't have enough vintage, we were doing a Royal Rumble drinking game while we were
I don't think he said it once.
He said it
in by night.
He said,
I'm drinking anyways.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I thought I was going to get hammered, and I didn't. I'm like, really? This is it? You fail me.
Spud, do something to turn your phone down, because you're crackling and distorted, and you're noisy, and you're pissing me off, so smarten up. Anyway.
I'm leaving my friend's house. We're getting in the car, so you hear the heater in the car, and you hear my wife putting my child in the back seat.
I'd rather listen to your wife at the moment, because she's at a normal level. Anyway, getting on to it, first off, overall thoughts and impressions before we break it down and look at the Royal Rumble. I don't know, guys. B+. I was entertained all night long. Mace, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd give it a B. I was entertained as well. Lack of vintage brought it down, though.
Yeah, that's why it didn't get an A-, because we didn't have enough vintages.
Will!
I'm going to take a shot.
You're going to take a shit? What?
Oh. Shot. He's drinking again. Scott Hall of the WTR Network, everybody.
Oh, yes, the Scott
Hall. Motherfucker. I love this fucking sport. A+, because it wasn't Cena.
Is that the only reason, William?
Yes, that is exactly the only reason, because I got to see Cena suck his own dick on the floor.
All right.
What show were you watching?
WWE does Dallas, I guess. I don't know. Thanks for the image. I got to get that out of my head now. Fuck. tell you what, guys, we didn't get enough vintages for Michael Cole, so make sure that your booze is handy. And we're going to do the post-show drinking game every time somebody on the program says vintage, take a shot. So, Will, I hope you didn't chug all three.
Vintage.
Yeah, well, I hope you didn't chug all three 40-pounders.
I had about 4 shots during the show, one to celebrate McCool getting squashed, one because I wanted something to drink, and then 2 vintages, plus the celebratory shot. Ugh.
Well, I'm surprised that celebration wasn't an entire bottle in one shot.
I gotta save some for later.
I see. Okay, so Omega, overall, initial impression.
I think my tongue is numb.
Omega.
Solid B+ from me. I was entertained from bell to bell, and I was pleasantly surprised by the whole event.
Okay, so the Royal Rumble, one of the big 4, didn't fully disappoint like some of the other pay-per-views we've seen over the last 12 months then for you.
Oh, yeah. This is a definite step up from a few more recent ones.
Yeah. Okay. And, Spud, you caught the pay-per-view with your boyfriend and your wife. What did you think of it?
First of all, get it right. It's my wife's friend, Rochelle.
Oh, okay. So you caught it with your wife and her girlfriend. Got it. That's
Shut up your ass, Canadian. What is an A? A solid A. It was entertaining from bell to bell. The matches that... other than the Rumble itself, for the most part, were solid matches. I have to give kudos to Miz and MVP for continuing the storyline through the Royal Rumble match itself. And the finish of the Miz-MVP match made you go, yeah, this is going all the way to Mania. I mean, I'm impressed with that feud. That feud has me wanting a lot more than what they gave us.
Okay, well, that's good. Then they succeeded in what they set out to do. And who was it in the chat said that he can't stand Miz? Was that Will?
I love Miz. Shut up.
No, wait a second. It was the other chat. It was Tony. Tony O. And he said he can't stand Miz. And all I can tell you, Tony, is that if you can't stand this, then he's doing his job properly as a performer in the split circle. But let's take a look at the pay-per-view right off the top here. Starting off with the ECW title match, we've got Christian versus Ezekiel. Christian retains the ECW opener. Now, I think that them starting hot with a title, even if it was was a smart idea. It was an entertaining match. My only problem was it wasn't long enough.
Yeah, I think it was long enough.
I don't think that match was long enough. Omega?
I tend to agree, especially for an opening match.
It could have gone on a little bit longer. Will, your impressions?
I missed, like, the first 40 minutes, but you know what? Who cares? Christian won. I'm happy with that.
Even though he's Canadian?
I like some Canadians. Okay.
Hey, Canada ruled tonight.
Right now for eliminating Cena.
Well, we're not going to call you. We're not going to call you Spud Junior anytime soon. So, what were your impressions of the match, Mace?
I know a lot of you guys are saying it should have been long, but it was actually the perfect length. I thought it went exactly as long as it needed. It was as action packed as it needed, and it was a perfect opener. But I will say this to the entire show as a whole: it's one of two shows that every year doesn't fail to entertain.
There you go. Okay, Spud, chime in.
Oh, it wasn't too short. Mace is right. It was of the perfect length. You don't want your opening match to go 20, 25, 30 minutes, because the whole purpose of the opening match is to set the stage for the rest of the card. It is to get the crowd pumped up, get them going, and then you slowly build up to your main event. If you come out and you give them a half hour match, they get bored midway through. So a 15 minutes, it was perfect. The action was there. There was one botched spot by Ezekiel that the WWE camera crew did a really good job of covering up, because they cut to that replay right as they see he botched the spot. So I'm pretty sure most people didn't notice the botch. But other than that, it was a very good performance by both individuals.
Yeah, botch aside, it was a really good match. It was a hot opener, which is like, you know, we always say when you're doing a big spectacle like one of these big four pay-per-views especially, you got to start hot. They started hot. I wouldn't have minded. I'm just saying I wouldn't have minded an extra 4 minutes. They didn't need to go another 10 minutes. They didn't need to go for a full 30 minutes. I would not have minded an extra 4 minutes.
Did you really need to, really though, did we really need that long to watch Ezekiel Jackson blow up in the ring?
Well, I
figured...
Actually,
he did pretty good tonight.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured 4 minutes would. I figured 4 minutes would have been the, you know, that's the bar, right? Give him another 4 minutes, and then they can do that before he gets blown up in the ring.
Kudos to him for being a big guy that can go 5 minutes without blowing up like Warrior.
There you go,
Christian.
But you got to remember, Christian can carry anybody.
Christian did a great job of slowing himself down to work within Ezekiel's parameters, as far as stamina is concerned and speed of the match. And that's a true veteran right there. When you can run a match and slow it down so that your opponent still looks good, that's awesome. So, yeah, they did just fine. No bitches about that one.
Okay. Mace, you had a comment pretty much along the same line as Spud, did you?
Yeah, pretty much along the same lines. It was the reason why it looked good was because Christian has been around guys like Ezekiel Jackson's size before, especially in his matches against like Monty Brown, where he's had to slow himself down and also carry the guy to a point where he looks good. And that's exactly what he did tonight with Ezekiel. Is he made Ezekiel look good, which most of us thought was impossible.
Well, it's nigh on close to impossible, and that's why I'm saying this match is good, is because of Christian's ability to make to not make Ezekiel look as bad as he really is. What's that, Will?
I swear to God, they better put Christian towards the main event this next year. That guy deserves it so goddamn much.
Oh, I want to see him do something at the next pay per view to get someplace. I want to see him and Edge team up again down the road. And of course, we're going to be talking a lot more about Edge a little bit later on tonight. Also coming up, everybody, don't forget, we got the great debate, just to let you know who's going against who tonight in the WTR Squared Circle. It's The Rock versus Batista, and Ric Flair takes on Yokozuna. Now, looking at that matchup, I see one really quick and simple, and the other one maybe not so easy. And, of course, for a segment, we got some quick hits heading your way as well. But getting back to this first match, because of Christian and his ability, that's what made this match. to tell you the truth. If it was anybody else in that ring but Christian, then they could have cut it short and just given me 2 minutes, and that would have been more than enough. But Christian made me want it to go an extra 4 minutes. A-minus for the first match for me.
Go ahead, Will. It blows my mind that Vince has reported, I don't know if it's true or not, I'm just going to go by what I've heard reported, that for some reason Vince isn't big on Christian. Why? The guy has charisma, the guy can go in the ring, he can make anybody look good. You know, he may not have the size of a guy like Cena or Batista. That's what makes watching him in the ring awesome, because he can still do high-flying moves, he can wrestle on the mat, and he's a great wrestler. I'm just glad he's been ECW champion for so long. And if he doesn't hold the title till Mania, if he loses it at No Way Out, he should win the Money in the Bank, hands down.
And there you go, Omega.
I'm pretty much in agreement. Tonight was proof of ever. Jeez, hang on a second. Move on to someone else.
Okay, Mace.
Oh, he's on the bed again. My brain's gone. Screw.
You're not that drunk.
No, that may be the problem. He's not that drunk yet. No, we're giving final grades individually. I gave the match an A-. Will is a solid A.
Christian and Ezekiel, I'll give it an A-.
Okay, there you go. Once again, there are going to be people who are going to differ with us, and you're more than welcome to your opinion. Once again, that's what makes the world go round. Everybody's got their own opinion about it. When it comes to professional wrestling, one thing that Vince is still enamored with is the big guy. Christian is not a big guy, but he can fight like a big guy. He can also fight like a luchador. Don't you think, Spud?
Yeah, that's the one thing I think that still hamstrings Vince in a way, is he is just married to the idea that every wrestler should look like Hogan or Ultimate Warrior or Macho Man, or at least your main guys. I think people like Flair, who really wasn't that big overall, Piper, Christian, so on and so forth, have proven time and time again that you can have a little guy and he can be the flagship of the company. But, you know, overall, I give the match an A, although I wouldn't get my hopes up about Christian going any higher than ECW champion. He might get an intercontinental run or two, but you're not going to see him with WWE heavyweight gold or the WWE championship around his waist. I don't think anytime, and then even in the distant future, it's not going to happen.
And yet, Jeff Hardy's sloppy ass can call himself a 2-time world champion.
When Christian starts bringing in the fat girls who like to eat at Golden Corral, then he might get a title shot.
I guess we need to start enlisting fat girls for Christian fans.
the fat 13-year-old girls there, Will?
Yes.
Okay. The jumbo peeps.
There you go, Omega. So,
yeah.
Okay, Omega, we're back to you again to give your mark on the opening match.
Solid A-. This is proof positive why Christian is probably the most underused and underutilized talent in the WWE today. If he can make me complain about an Ezekiel Jackson match being too short, he is really good.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have any final things to say about the first match?
I just have the one question of, is it because you wanted to see more of the match, or you wanted to see more of Christian? Because nobody was too thrilled that Ezekiel Jackson was in it to begin with. But, you know, he's not that good, and Christian didn't make him look any more better than he usually makes anybody else look. So, is it y'all are Christian homers and wanted to see more of Christian, or you actually enjoyed the match and wanted to see more of the match?
Well, it's not such a simple answer as the question is, Spug, at least from my end. I wanted to see a little bit more of the match because Christian was making it that good of a match. Yeah, it sounds like I'm being a Christian homer, like you said, but
I am.
Okay. Christian didn't make Ezekiel look any better than he makes anybody else in the ring look. That's a non-sentence. That really is a non-statement. He made Ezekiel Jackson... No, wait. He made Ezekiel Jackson look good, and as a result, the match was good, in my opinion.
He made... You know, when he wrestled Monty Brown at TNA, he made Monty Brown look good. Like I said, Christian makes people look good in the ring. But it wasn't like he made Ezekiel Jackson look like Shawn Michaels. Christian didn't make Ezekiel Jackson look any better than Christian makes anybody else look when he wrestles him. Christian is a phenomenal talent. People are going to think I'm bashing on him. I'm not. He's a fantastic wrestler. I love watching him wrestle.
He does a great job. No. Nobody's bashing on you for asking that question. It's a valid question, and I got absolutely no problems with the question. I'm just saying that, Christian makes every opponent look phenomenal. There's only so much you can do with some of them, and yeah, Shawn Michaels can't make Ezekiel Jackson look like Shawn Michaels. I mean, come on. Fact of the matter is.
That's my point. You guys are crowning Christian and saying, oh, if this proves it, if this doesn't prove it, nothing else would. You know what? Put him in the ring with someone equally as talented and as gifted as he is to see how the match turns out.
I'll tell you what, right now, you do that with Christian and put, Christian and HBK. You're such a fucking mark for Shawn Michaels. Christian and HBK.
Shawn Michaels, get it right.
I'll guarantee you. Compared to me, you are. I'll guarantee you that they would tear down the house. That would be match of the year candidate right out of the box, those two.
That's what I'm saying. If you want Christian to prove anything, then you need to put him up against someone of his caliber. Look, they say it in football and in baseball all the time. Beat up on the scrubs, you're going to look like gold. You go up against someone of your caliber and you struggle, you look like the bottom of the barrel. You need to prove it in the areas that matter.
Yeah,
you
I'm just saying.
The best, you got to beat the best.
And I'm just telling you right now, Shawn Michaels and Christian would tear the house down together. Will, you had a point.
Two quick examples for Spug. Chris Jericho versus Christian a few months ago on ECW, and go back to the Edge versus Christian ladder match during the Invasion era, which was an underrated match that was absolutely fucking fantastic.
It was off the hook, and that could have been match of the year right there.
Okay, here are my two problems with your two examples. One, your Chris Jericho versus Christian match took place on ECW. That's how little the WWE brass thought that match would draw on Raw. They put it on ECW on Tuesday nights and buried it. That's what they thought of those two guys wrestling. Second of all, your second example took place almost 7 years ago, 8 years ago, during the Invasion angle, a period of time that most wrestling fans want to forget. So to sit there and defend him why he should be on top? No. Give me examples now. I want examples now. I want to see it now today. And I love Christian. I really do. But you can't sit there and tell me he needs to be in the main event when he hasn't proven it against main event talent in recent memory on the big stage.
All right, and you're right about that, but I'm not saying move him off ECW and throw him right in a title match. I'd like to see him off ECW so he can prove himself against
you
guys. All right, so we're in agreement with that.
Yeah,
okay,
no, now, we're in total agreement.
Now, right. here's the other side of that coin. Maybe they're trying to get people to watch Tuesday night, so they put that match on. That's the other side of the coin. It might not be a case of, oh, let's bury this match because we don't think it'll do any good. It's, oh, we need to spike the ratings, so let's put these two guys on against each other on Tuesday. you know, you got to keep thinking both sides of the coin, not just the one like you always love doing. Anyway, it's pretty much unanimous decision here with the panel. A-minus for the opening match. Second match, okay, Spuggy, here's your chance to get all goopy about it because it's the feud. The Miz versus MVP with The Miz coming out on top. And again, I say this match was too short. They didn't give these guys enough time tonight. Spug.
Again, the time was perfect. It was perfect. Because they want you wanting more. They want to get you watching again. And the fact that Miz went over clean without a finisher. Without a finisher. And he went as old school as to get him in a small package for the win. That, to me, that's selling me on this feud, is that this isn't, you know, your typical, oh, I hate you, oh, I hate you, let's fight, and then we'll beat each other over the head, and then, you know, the bad guy will use weapons, and then he'll cheat. No. I Miz didn't cheat at all. At all. He won cleanly. And I'm not a Miz fan. I don't like him. I can't stand the guy. He's a douche. I do like MVP. They both got wrestling styles, but this is going to go all the way to Mania. I can't see him stopping it at the Elimination Chamber match. This thing is going to carry all the way to Mania.
Yeah. Will, did you catch any of this match at all? Do you have an opinion or thoughts?
This is one of the matches I missed. For one, I didn't even know it was on the card.
And yeah, it's like one of those, oh, let's announce it right after the first match in the back with Teddy Long.
Okay, and two, I wanted to see it. I mean, the feud, the build-up for this feud has been great on TV because these guys have been doing interesting promos.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like Miz, but for some reason, I like him. He's come a far, far way from what he was when he first debuted as the Diva Search guy. He's one of those guys I look forward to a Miz match. I don't know why, I just do. And I'm sad to say I missed this one, since it seems even Spug's like, yeah, it was a great match. So I guess I'll have to catch this one on YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah, I know. Whatever you got to do to get this match, it was entertaining and enjoyable. Omega!
Uh-huh. Now, I'm glad this is recording because I'm not going to say this often in my life. I agree with Spug.
Oh, shit. Wait a second. Everybody, no noise. Say that one more time.
The Omega agrees with the Spug guy.
Okay, that's going to be the next clip for something here next time you guys get into a disagreement over something. Go ahead.
That won't take long, I'm sure.
He's
absolutely right. I mean, we knew the MVP was due for a U.S. title shot. They've been teasing that for a while now. It was impromptu to make it for the Rumble. I didn't really it wasn't a big surprise, though, at least not to me. And the way it was handled, being an impromptu match, it should have ended this way. It should have been quick, and it should have left you wanting for more, because they can play this feud out a long time. I mean, I will also say that Will is correct, and that Miz has come a long way. And he's come farther than a lot of stars in this generation. And he's due for great things in the next couple of years if they don't drop him.
Uh-huh.
But as it stands right now, it is a great feud. It is one that they should carry on. And it does have enough legs to go to WrestleMania, which I think would be a very viable feud and very enjoyable match. So this one is just as long as it needed to be.
Okay. Huh? Mace, you're up. Break it down.
I wish I could break it down because everybody else seems to have bloody done it for me. Yeah, I'm total agreement with everything that's been said so far about the match. You know, it was great length. The Miz has come a long way. It was entertaining. And to be honest, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what they're going to do at Elimination Chamber and again at WrestleMania.
Holy shit. Positive things about wrestling? I love this time of year.
Yeah, welcome to Bizarro World, Will.
Yeah, how many shots have you had, Will?
Five.
Do you want to know why? Because this is the Royal Rumble. This is the one of two times in the year where we will actually sit there and go, we have been entertained, we enjoyed it, here's the positives, and then we're going to go and spoil it by watching a TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, the road to WrestleMania is always a good time of the year for WWE if they handle it right. So I just can't wait for WrestleMania if this is our start.
Absolutely, yeah. I liked the match. It was good, like I said. And me saying it's too short, this is not me dissing on any part of the match at all. It's too short because, specifically because of what you were saying about it, Spud. It's a great storyline, it's a great angle, it's fantastic that they're carrying it on. They did real, real justice to the angle during the Rumble itself. It's great. I give this match an A.
I don't know how you cannot. You don't sit there and give those two the type of play that you've been giving them live on live television on Monday nights without allowing them the payoff that happened tonight. You just
yep.
don't.
Yep. Will?
Can I just give it an A just for everyone else's reaction?
Oh, absolutely. There you go. Okay. Omega.
Where are we at again?
We're still Miz versus MVP. We're giving the ratings now.
Oh, I thought I was already on more than this. Yeah, A. This match did everything right.
There you go. And Mace, your rating on it.
I'm going to give it away an A as well, but a very hesitant A, because I reckon that they're going to go a lot further with this, and if we're giving it an A now, by the time we get to WrestleMania, we're going to have to make up a new grade.
Well, if they keep up the good work, we could pass them with straight A's right through the final exam, I guess you could say. So, yeah. Now, the next matchup, the third match on the card this evening, WWE Champion Steve Cuff Marshmallow Man takes on Randy the Viper Orton.
Yes, I got on.
Now, I didn't like this match, and right off the bat, I'm giving it a C-. Good stuff in the ring. Sheamus showed me a little bit tonight, but I'm not a fan of the finish at a pay-per-view when it's for a title. I'm really not a fan of that kind of booking. I can understand it, but if you want to break up legacy, if you want to cause problems, don't do it at one of the bigger pay-per-views. And let's face it, the Royal Rumble is one of the big four. And I was just disappointed. I wanted, you know, like, I don't care if Sheamus hit Randy with the belt when the ref wasn't looking to secure the victory with a pin afterwards. Fine. But don't have legacy come running out. And it was disappointing. Very disappointing. I just have this feeling they're protecting Sheamus like absolute nuts, you know? And, Will, it looks like you're in agreement with me because I'm reading the chat room here. That's my opinion. I didn't like the match. This match particularly brought the pay-per-view right down for me just because of how things worked out. Will.
The one thing I've always pointed out since we saw Sheamus win the championship at TLC is that, what? Sorry, my friend sent me a message. Is that in every of Sheamus's big matches, he has been protected as all hell. He has not yet beat any main event superstar cleanly and has been by DQ or some other shenanigans. And it's just WWE trying to make this decision to put the belt on one of the most underdeveloped guys in the company look like it's worth it. And it really isn't. You heard the crowd out there. I mean, granted, Randy Orton seems to be over anyways, despite being a heel, but they wanted Orton to win. Not only that, but for Cody, they've made Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase look like lackeys, but intelligent lackeys. And for all of a sudden, Cody Rhodes to go and hit Sheamus when the ref is looking at him was absolutely a terrible decision, not even with it being a DQ for the way they did it. You know,
yeah.
I could understand if, you know, Sheamus was the one who hit the ref or something like that. But the way they did the DQ, which was already bad to begin with, just made it even worse. The match was slow as shit. Orton protected Sheamus the entire match. I mean, Sheamus's one big move is that painful-looking Uranage onto the knee, which he stole from someone in CZW. And just, Orton should have won this match without any shenanigans, because really, no one wants to see Sheamus.
Yeah, and they're keeping the belt on Sheamus for some reason, fine. But if you're going to win, do it differently. Don't do it with Randy getting DQ'd because of his buddies and legacy. Before we move on, Rock, was I seeing things? Did I see Sergeant Dunning in the chat room earlier? Is he still here? Is he still with us?
Yeah,
I just want to. Oh, he says no. Okay, there you go, Sarge. Hey, Sarge can't see it, but I'm saluting you. Good to see you again, Sergeant Dunning. And really happy that you could make it. Special shout out to you, buddy, from me to you. I hope you watched pay-per-view, and I hope you liked it. And if you didn't like it, oops. Anyway, moving on. Omega, your turn.
Oh, God, another Sheamus match. Woo-hoo.
Woo!
Woo!
Now, I actually don't have any problem with starting the breakdown of Legacy right here. I mean, they've been a big enough heel faction on Raw that I do think it deserves some kind of major event feel to break them up. That being said, the whole reason, the whole excuse for putting Sheamus with the world title so fast is because he's been such a dominating force and is so overbearing and so powerful in the ring. Nothing can stop him, nothing. And now he's looking like one of the weakest champions in history. I mean, the last time he had a title match with Cena, he got completely... it was a completely one-sided match, and he got himself disqualified just to get out of it. Now tonight, where he was just about to lose with an RKO, and the ref calls for interference, it's absolute nonsense to go from... Oh, this guy is unstoppable, and he is an absolute monster, too. No, he lucks into wins all the time just to keep his belt. You've taken away all the credibility to something that was going on credibility alone. You have absolutely nothing with him now. He doesn't have skills. He doesn't have history. He doesn't have anything that a champion needs. And now he doesn't have any kind of solid base for being a monster anymore. He's useless, and this experiment has failed horribly.
Well, Punk Rock Kid has a great question in the chat room. How many clean finishes has he had since he got that title? I mean, winning it was a clean finish, but, you know, how many since?
He beat Evan Bourne.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, that's, you know. Okay.
Hey, so you ask.
There you go. Mace, up next.
I was originally going to grade this one a C+, and then I brought up to a solid B due to Sheamus being such a pathetic heel that it made Randy Orton look like a face for the first time in many, many months. But then the ending dropped it back down to a C+. There's pretty much not much to say about it. You know, the ending was fucked. It's the end of Legacy starting up. I believe it was Omega who said in our little chat that we're looking at a three-way between the members of Legacy at WrestleMania, which would actually be quite good.
Yeah, it wasn't me, but that doesn't sound bad.
Sheamus is being protected, but you know, Sheamus is being protected up the wazoo because, well, let's just face it, saving him for Cena, we all know it. So yeah, match gets a C+, and yeah, meh. But when the C+ is like your low point of the pay per view, you know you've done a good job.
And I used to think C+ was really good when I'd go to the store when I was a kid and pick it up. Spud.
I called it earlier in the night when I talked to him again. I said they're going to break up Legacy. You watch.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they're doing.
Okay.
I said, this is what they're doing. And he agreed. The other thing, the problem with this match is not that you made Sheamus look weak, because the hundreds of appearances on Raw, the total squashes of inferior talent, and then protecting the shit out of him against the top-named guys did that long, long ago. The problem with Sheamus as champion is that the day he beat Cena, he was unbelievable as champion. You know, he came out of nowhere, and you're like, everybody's excited that somebody finally beat Cena, and now, you know, now we have Sheamus. And it's almost like McMahon sitting in his office going, careful what you wish for, you just might get it. At this point, I almost want Cena to be champion again, because at least he's a credible champion.
Okay, don't say that too often or too many times with Will on the same line, whatever you do.
No, because as much as I hate Cena, at least Cena's more credible than fucking Sheamus.
Wow.
Okay.
Right,
I
Tim,
don't sound close
Tim,
galore tonight.
Tim,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Little secret. Before I started hating Cena, I was an adamant Cena defender.
Oh, no, I know that much. It's surprising, almost surprising, that you would say that you'd rather have Cena than anybody else.
No, I'd rather have Cena than Sheamus. I can admit stuff like that. I may hate the guy... character, but I can admit stuff like that.
Okay, that's what I meant. Okay, so did I leave anybody out on this match here? Sheamus versus Orton? Who didn't get a chance to give it a bad mark and shoot on it? I think everybody did.
Yeah, I think we had our turn.
Did anyone else see the ref just kind of sit there with his thumb up his ass before he decided to do the DQ? He stared at Cody going,
Can you tell me when the RKO happened so I can turn around?
With Cody. He said, you could read it on his lips. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why, you know?
It's just killing time because Sheamus took too long to get in position for the RKO.
Yeah, that was a little retarded on that one, too. But, hey, you know what? We've taken a look at the first three matches of the night. We got two more to break down before we get to the Royal Rumble. So I'll tell you what, let's take our first time out of the night. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Mark this down, write it down, and get ready for a little bit later on when we open the lines. Toll-free phone number is 888-357-9876. Option one. We're going to give you a chance to tell us that we're full of shit about the pay-per-view or agree with us or, you know, someplace in between a little bit later on. But for now, we'll be back right after this.
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars. Clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh my God.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tests very high on the stroke ability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes. Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
The most controversial man in wrestling radio is coming back to the Free Zone. The Trey Dog is bringing back the fabulous Bam and taking Wrestling News Live back to the people. Be sure to check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk for information and updates. And, oh yeah, join the forums and start posting, bitches. Wrestling News Live, returning soon on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic, and you lead the discussion. Hadlick with Travis shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better play. They score. Justin Boyd. Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
This is Mace, the man who cannot cut a promo to save his life. Come check me out on Otaku Talk Live, where I geek it up with Spug and Omega. Tuesdays, 11 p.m, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now maybe the bastards have put me on the opening.
Welcome back to Wrestle
Fuck
Talk.
Fuck you, Will.
Here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we, all five of your favorite fuckers, are reviewing the Royal Rumble 2010.
Woo! Royal Rumble 2010! Did you believe a woman will enter the Royal Rumble and almost win?
Radio.
Stop it, Will!
Shut the fuck up, or else you're going to put your nuts in a vice, goddamn redneck son of a bitch.
Okay, that's it.
This is not American Idol.
That's it. Okay, Will, time out. 3 minutes in the corner. Go. Okay, and we're now timing. There it is. All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for joining us. Once again, the phone number, when we open up the phone lines, listen for it. You'll know when. 888-357-9876. Option one, if you've got Skype on your computer and you want to just Skype to Skype, it doesn't matter. It's free one way or the other. Skype Sir Rockin', and he'll bring you aboard the show. And you can chat with us and talk about the Rumble. But the next matchup, squash! They went from cake to a squash. We're talking about Mickie James or
Mickie James
versus Michelle McTaker. And I tell you, the only thing that I didn't like about this match was that she didn't get beat up enough. Otherwise, it was too long. Will.
Oh, can I come out of the corner?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in the corner. Shit. Omega.
That's what you get for singing that song.
Oh,
Okay, another 2 minutes.
More minutes.
Oh, fuck up.
You know what? No, screw you. I'm going to cut in front of Omega because I want to say how much I have hated this
Scott
feud.
Hall, don't talk over me.
Shut up. I have hated this feud so goddamn much, and I'm going to disagree with Tim because at Beatdown, sure, that lasts about 10 minutes. A squash match lasts for fucking eternity.
All right, Omega, your turn. Go back to your corner, Will.
Okay.
If you stay there the whole 3 minutes, there's a bottle of vodka here for you. I am thrilled that this feud is over. This is the feud where every time Vince says he is making a more sophisticated product, it's this feud that makes me laugh my ass off at that concept. This is one of the most poorly conceived, most mentally insulting feuds I have ever had, and the fact that it ended so quickly tonight is a godsend.
I was never a big fan of the Piggy James thing anyway to begin with. To tell you the truth, I'd rather jump Mickey James's bones before I even touched Michelle McCool, but that's just me.
The Undertaker would break your neck.
Well, yeah, that could be part of it, I suppose. Mace!
Like everybody else, I was not a fan of this feud. For the simple fact is, if you take a look at Mickey James, she's about the same size as if you take this fucking two divas together. And she's still bloody skinny compared to the average size woman of today. You know, it's a stupid fucking concept, all because people were going, oh, she got moved to SmackDown because of her weight. They didn't want her on Raw, blah, 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 blah. Who gives a flying fuck? The match was just straight in, bang, bang, over and done with. The only problem is, it could have been longer because I was planning to take a piss then, and if I did, I would have missed half the next match. And by the way, will you ever sing that fucking song again? I will stick your head up your ass and make you eat out your own fucking scrotum, you son of a fucking bitch.
I got a Rock. Funny feeling you don't like that song, Mace.
Rock, my next
I
bumper.
I bloody hate it.
Rock, my next bumper, that's the backing to it.
There you go. Spug, the chick match.
You know, I was a fan, and I'm a fan of Mickey James. I don't think that's a big secret around here.
Hey, she's got some good ghetto booty happening.
She does, and I don't like skinny women, so, but that's part of it. The thing, as much as we bitch about them protecting Sheamus, isn't it completely obvious that they're protecting Michelle McCool from the women that can actually wrestle?
Mm-hmm. Add to that the fact that she's injured and she's got to go get surgery, and that's pretty much the reason for the entire squash. That was the entire reason for this entire build-up, Spug.
Oh, I know, but the greatest part about that match was not only Michelle McCool getting squashed like a bitch, but the way that Mickey James chucked Layla into that wall like a $2 whore that owed her money.
That order change, yeah.
I, you know, squash matches, when appropriate, are great to end a feud. And I think in this way, with all the build-up and all the insulting that had gone towards Mickey James, whether it be, you know, a bit of shooting for things that had gone on in the back for the reasons that they moved her to SmackDown, I don't really care. I'm sure if you poll the majority of men across America, they like a woman with a little meat on her bones. And stick figures just aren't appealing to me. They aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put all that build-up into account, the way that squashed Michelle McCool and Layla, and then all of the babyface women's wrestlers came out at the end, and, you know, shoved the cake in their face, that was fucking funny.
it was good for a 2 second chuckle, maybe, but really, seriously, in this day and age, can't you find something other than the stereotype from like the 70s? Oh, you're fat. You're just so fat you can't win. You're fat. Oh yeah, stomp. I said on your ass. Now give me my belt, bitch. Oh, hit some cake. Come on.
Not when you're going PG-13. And you know what? I would always prefer Mickey James's fat ass over that nasty, ugly southern cunt Michelle McCool.
Ooh. Will
and that white tail black chick Layla. What the hell? Anyone remember when she first showed up? She was actually black. What the hell? Did she bleach herself?
Took the Michael Jackson treatment. I don't know.
She's starting dating Seamus and the white rubbed off on her.
Yeah, there you go. Next thing you know, she's going to show up with LaToya Jackson's nose. I don't know. Quite possible. But, yeah, no, I wasn't a big fan of this feud to begin with, and it was one of those blink-and-you-miss-it type matches, which I don't have a problem with, except I had to take a leak, and they had moved on already by the time I came out of the bathroom. So, but that's that for that, you know. I'm sorry, D-minus on this one, guys.
Probably giving it a rating. It's long enough to be right.
It'd be an F, but I'm going to give it a D just for finally killing the feud.
Okay, there you go. Will?
You know what? I'm kind of buzzed. A, because it killed the feud. I got to see a stupid fake fat bitch thrown around like a fucking toy.
Like a fake fat bitch.
Take the first shot of the night, too.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. It gave him my first shot of the night. So you know what?
Thanks for screwing up the curve there, Will. Maze, what's your rating?
Didn't you hear what I said, Tim? It didn't go long enough for a rating.
You know, everybody talks.
You know what? But everybody ending the feud. You, so. Tim, shut the fuck up. I am no longer Mr. Nice Mace. This is it. I'm over it. Nah, that bloody song's pissed me off.
Oh,
but.
Stop it! Go, Mace.
I should kill you.
Mace, I will kill you. Take a deep breath, right. Cut in, and carry on. Just ignore the little fucker.
I am going to give, for the end of the feud, a B, only because I want to try and keep this pay-per-view in a decent, like, grade bracket where it actually turns out to be a good show.
Well, there you go. Let's see, I guess Bug's next. Damn it.
I'll give it a solid B. Like I said, I liked the ending of the feud. I thought the squash was appropriate for the build-up. And I just haven't seen Michelle McCool throw that on her ass because, well, she's a fucking cunt.
Nobody likes Michelle McTaker. All right, just because... Everybody figures she's where she got where she was because she was doing Taker. What?
She got up there the same way as a hot air balloon. She blew her way to the top.
Bada bing! There you go. You know that could have worked for a little joke too. You're getting a little generic in your dotage there, Omega.
It fit the circumstance, so I'm willing to let one go.
Okay, well...
I'm agreeing with Rock in our chat room. Can we move this on? We've talked about the match longer than the actual match happened.
Yeah, well, I was just about to. Here we go. The next match up, the World Heavyweight Title match, and we can still call it the World Heavyweight Title match. Rey Mysterio versus Undertaker. No surprises in this one. Solid match. Rey did pretty good. No way in hell I would have bought Rey beating Taker. Taker, I think, made Rey look good and vice versa. But like I said, no surprises. It was a solid match. It was a good lead into the Rumble itself. I'll give it a B+.
This is where you call someone's name, Tim.
We're sheep. Will. We need to be led.
Will.
No, we just don't want to talk over each other. This match actually surprised the hell out of me because I've not a big fan of Rey Mysterio matches because they're... Look, I'm Rey Mysterio. I'm tiny. Oh, you're kicking my ass the whole match. Oh, here, have a Hurricanrana. And, you know, this match, it was actually pretty decent. Mysterio's offense was actually believable. And when Undertaker would manhandle Rey Mysterio, he manhandled Rey Mysterio. That bit where... Taker had Mysterio by the throat on the outside and just threw his ass into the barricade. That sounded painful. You know, Mysterio just let him soak it, thrown around like a rag doll. And the counter to the tombstone with Mysterio using his knees, and the fact that the match wasn't stopped because, oh, God forbids, there's a little speckle of blood on somebody's nose, which, you know, it wasn't. It was more than a little speckle, but fuck WWE. You know what? It was a solid, surprising match, and I don't know what else I could say about it. Other than there was a lack of fucking vintage.
Yeah, God damn it. This is the one match we were hoping to get at least 10 vintages out of. And
that New York match, there's always a vintage Orton. Where was that? We got a classic Orton. Fuck you, Michael Cole.
Well, we can't have vintage Orton when he's going after going up against Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. But just to answer Jin Dragon Man in the chat room, yeah, Ray took some big hits. It was a good match. It was solid. I didn't say it wasn't. I just said there was no surprises in that one. So give it a grade, Will.
I'm going to give it a solid B for actually standing on its own and not being a typical Rey Mysterio match.
Mm, okay, sure. Omega.
It was better than a typical Rey Mysterio match.
Yeah. I would agree with that sentiment. Probably a good B-plus from me. I would disagree with the fact that there were no surprises, because I was pleasantly surprised that a match between Mysterio and a big guy could go off so well. I mean, they did it pretty much as well as you could do it. And for I was expecting someone's knee was supposed to blow out during this match. I don't know who, but that was it. I mean, when Ray was up for Tombstone and he was just kicking the hell out of Taker's head with his knees, I do. Okay, there are four knees here. One of them is about to buckle. I don't know whose, but it's coming. And I was pleasantly surprised that they made it through the match, and it was a really solid match.
Okay, rate it.
I said a B+. Didn't you listen to me?
No, I'm busy doing other things. I didn't hear a B+. My apologies. Okay. there you go. Mace.
Again, it's going to be a B+ on this end. They didn't stop it for blood. It was actually quite an amusing match. They, like Tim said, no real surprises, but the one instance where I was waiting for the surprise was the knees to the head of Undertaker when Rey Mysterio got pulled into the tombstone. I was waiting for Rey to just flip that upside down and give Undertaker a tombstone. That would have just absolutely blown my mind. But, yeah, it went really well. Having to use 2 619s before getting absolutely squashed at the end. The 1218, I believe they called it, was quite amusing. It's the only amusing comment in the entire bloody match, considering we had things from Jerry Lawler where he's talking about blood and he was actually surprised that it was red.
Yeah, Lawler has commentated for how long in the WWE, and he has all of a sudden never seen The Undertaker bleed? You son of a bitch.
What, has Undertaker ever bled?
He was just on totally retarded. He was totally retarded tonight.
He's got red blood! He's got red blood! Holy shit!
Undertaker bled at Armageddon in the 6-man Hell in a Cell. He bled at WrestleMania 17. And those are just two of many times he has bled under Lawler's watch. How come Lawler is retarded?
This is the first time we had PG-rated blood.
Oh, it was PG blood.
This was the comment from Lawler. I can't believe I'm seeing blood from The Undertaker, and it's red. That was the comment from Lawler.
And you know what? Thank God for Stryker, because he was like, well, it's actually blue. And you know what? He made Jerry Lawler earn his fucking paycheck tonight. He kept going, hey, Jerry, what'd you think about this? And Lawler's like, oh, God, why am I being put on the spot?
Well, because he was working with Cole on the other side. What would you do? Vintage! I mean, fuck, man. Come on. Spug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, then chime in. It's your fucking turn.
It was Rey Mysterio versus Undertaker in a glorified squash. Hooray.
That's all you saw it as, was a glorified squash?
Yeah, I really did. It was a glorified squash.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. I can't say it was a squash, glorified or otherwise. Ray got in some good shots, and he got in some great offense.
it's Rey Mysterio, whose balls still haven't apparently dropped yet, versus Undertaker, who is Dave or Goliath next to Rey Mysterio's David. And
I was so hoping you were going to say his balls fell off a long time ago.
And how many times have we seen the midget versus the giant match going back to the days of WCW? I'm sick of it. I really am. Look, Rey Mysterio is much better when he gets to wrestle his style against people capable of wrestling his style. Fucking get off your ass and bring back the light heavyweight division. For fuck's sakes.
The light heavyweight division, otherwise known as the cruiserweights in the WWE.
I don't care what you call them. You can call them midgets who can flip around the ring like they're on crack division. I don't give a fuck.
You and your goddamn midgets. Jeez. Omega, how do you
equal ratings?
How do you put up with him on Tuesdays, Omega?
I don't. Did you hear how it went down last Tuesday?
Oh, you guys had some kind of a blow-up, and you got off, you ended the show rather abruptly to have an argument behind the scenes. That's all I know about it.
It's going on all week.
Well, I think you're going to have to tune into OTL this Tuesday night.
I've got voicemails that Omega has left me on my Skype that we're going to play live on the air on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to pay attention to what's going on with that one. Boy, I'll tell you, when is it, 11 o'clock Eastern?
Yes.
Okay, 11 Eastern.
Yeah,
all right.
The way they've been disagreeing, I'm going to be hosting that show by myself eventually.
Well, Jesus Christ, Mace, I just might make myself available. We can talk Star Trek. How's that sound?
And then Will call in and sing his favorite song in the world.
Yeah, that's the only geek shit I know, Star Trek, Mace. So maybe we'll do that later. But moving on.
Star Trek.
Here you go. Okay, we'll bring Will on. As long as you don't sing the damn song.
All right.
He said all right, Mace.
Good, but I'm still going to kill him.
You got to come out here first, and as far as I know, that's $3,000 out of your own pocket.
I'm planning on it. I'm looking into it, Tim.
Will, beat Magic Missile.
Now, beating Will up would be a lot of fun, but I'm not going to, personally, I wouldn't spend $3,000 to do it. No offense.
Well, the idea is to spend $3,000 to go to Canada and save up a little money there with a job that somebody offered, and then fly to where Will is and kill him, and then come back to Canada where hopefully I'll have immunity for any crimes I do in the States.
Oh, hell.
Mace, it wouldn't be satisfying. Have you seen how skinny I am? You would hit me once, and I'd fall down like Hogan taking a poke, or Nash taking a poke of doom. My quads would blow. I'd have bulging disc in my back. You'd be like, really, you fucking pussy?
I told you, wouldn't
that
work?
That's fine. It'll be fun, then I'll go see Spud get drunk. It's all good. I have plans, people.
There you go. Yeah, and you don't have to worry about flying, Mace. When you gotta get out here, I've got a car for you for only $250, so.
He's gonna use modern internet. It'll be great.
Yeah, real internet. Hey, he hasn't dropped yet, Will. So, everybody, there it is, the five matches leading up to the Rumble. Now we get to the Rumble, kids. And I have to tell you, stellar. The Rumble rarely, rarely disappoints. Last year, it did. Before that, I can't remember the last time that it bored the hell out of me or disappointed me. This year, no real exception. Very, very pleased with the whole thing. Absolutely happy with the outcome. You know, well, I think pretty much just about everybody's happy with the outcome tonight.
Yes!
There we go. Couple of shockers. Couple of surprises happening tonight. First off, let's take a look at this really quickly here. First entrant, Dolph Ziggler. Second entrant, Evan Bourne. Not a big deal. Ziggler eliminates Bourne. Whoopty shit, right? Out third.
Wait,
Will.
No.
What?
No.
What?
Ziggler didn't... Did he? No, Ziggler didn't eliminate Bourne.
Bourne was the first one eliminated.
Right, he was the first one eliminated, but he wasn't eliminated by Ziggler.
I was just about to get to you, Will, so you could say what happened.
Okay, well, you know what?
Will. Right. Will? Shut up, have another drink, and go back to tossing off Zack Ryder, all right?
There you go. Okay, the third one out, CM Punk.
Can I talk now?
The straight edge guy. Go, Will.
You know, Omega didn't like this. He kept bitching about, oh, there go eliminations or rumble spots for a promo. But you know what? I thought Punk's role in this was fantastic. He eliminates Bourne. He eliminates Ziggler. Real quick, right off the bat. So what does he do? He grabs a mic and he serenades us all with his straight edge rhetoric. And just like the next two people who come down get blown out by Punk. And he's sitting there, he's still cutting a promo. And you know what? I love the shit out of it.
Yeah, I agree with the redneck retard. It reminded me...
The autistic Aussie and the redneck retard. Only here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
But as I was saying, it reminded me of when Austin was doing the same thing, eliminating guys right and left and everything, except Austin would just sit in the corner going, yeah, who's next? Whereas this time, Punk actually made us hate the living room by preaching the straight edge thing. You know, but then again, I hate the whole straight edge idea, but at the same time, I love it because I used to be a fan of it in ROH.
There you go. I think Punk's got a great gimmick. The thing that I really appreciated on SmackDown Friday night when DX showed up, great swerve by WWE. We were supposed to get a tag title match between DX and Team Straight Edge, and it turned into a singles match with Triple H taking on Punk. The promos they cut. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chase, you know, I don't do this, don't do drugs, yada, and exactly what did Triple H do? That was absolutely perfect. So I don't do any of that shit either. What's your point? At least I don't look like a mountain man with my beard.
Friggin' hobos, man. What is it with people in WWE look like hobos lately?
I love the beards. When Edge came back with his beard at Survivor Series, I marked for the beard. You know why I like Mike Knox? His beard.
You know, for somebody...
I'll give you that one, Will. Mike Knox's beard is awesome, only because it could be considered another entrant into the Royal Rumble if you get to...
The beard itself,
Mike Knox's beard allows him to fly, okay? That's amazing.
Okay, you know why Mike Knox's beard is so powerful? It hides Chuck Norris.
Oh...
I had to, just to
you
shut
hear
you
that?
Guys.
That's the sound of a car crash.
Somewhere, Chuck Norris just got into an accident.
No. Fail trumpet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, for somebody who professes not to do drugs, CM Punk has that heroin chic look down almost to a T.
Hold on. Have you guys not seen any of the CM Punk shoot interviews that he did during ROH days? The amount of drinking and drugs this guy has done is almost on Ric Flair type levels.
Who? Punk?
Yes.
Yeah, really? It's kind of ironic that he has the straight edge gimmick in WWE if he followed ROH at all when he was in ROH. It's one of the reasons why I get a chuckle out of it. But
Will, if you go out and track down straight shooting with CM Punk and Samoa Joe, 9/10 of the stories that start with the line, well, Joe and I were drunk at a bar.
But I thought...
Just to give you an idea.
Mace, educate me real quick. We're going to take a break off the rumble real quick. I thought Punk was actually straight edge in real life, or did he just get tired of, you know, being so drunk he thought he was Scott Hall and went straight edge?
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. That's all it is, man.
Really?
He's just like every other wrestler out there. He's out there drinking up as much as everybody else.
So then
could be,
why
could
he
be
have
worse.
Straight edge and a Pepsi tattoo on his stomach.
Think he mixes whiskey with Pepsi?
could be worse. At least he wasn't in a hurricane tonight.
Yeah.
There's
a DUI coming through.
You're welcome.
All right, we can get back to the Rumble.
Will, you don't realize it, but you talk with somebody regularly who has had more than a couple of drinks with CM Punk, and I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. So, yeah, but CM Punk got there. He's cutting the promos in between, eliminating the guys. That was great. That was good.
The ending of that was absolutely perfect. Great Carl Lee coming out, putting his right hand up to take the straight edge pledge, and then he's, Carly, stop!
You know, as much as I hate Carly, that Carly chop is always amusing because it's such a stupid move, but it's always so funny.
Oh my god, why didn't Muhammad Hassan have that gimmick? I needed him to deliver
because
a Hassan chop.
He's not 7 foot tall and a retard.
Well, it's so much funnier. It'd be so much funnier if Muhammad Hassan did it.
Chop.
Or however that goes, it's the Muslim call to prayer. So, out number four, yep, Kali with the Kali chop. And then we got the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix, with the kiss of elimination.
That was a holy shit moment if I ever saw one.
I was like, no fucker, well, get out of here. No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it did. That was hilarious. Kali eliminated by his own boner. Very good.
Yeah. Beth Phoenix is that woman who could, like, wrestle smaller guys like Punk and maybe get away with it. She can actually wrestle, which is fantastic. And just watching her versus guys is always great because she can make it look real. And with her eliminating Kali like that, it's genius. She used her feminine wiles and Kali's boner against him.
Until he was pulled from the Rumble because he got hurt. Apparently, Santino Marella was supposed to be in as the 7th entrance. And Beth Phoenix was supposed to tie the elimination record with Santino.
Who cares? I like what we got.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. It was good.
So
and
yeah,
you know what? I would let Beth Phoenix manhandle me any day of the week.
Will you let
that wouldn't be too hard?
Day of the week.
That wouldn't be too hard, Will. Have you seen yourself in the mirror lately?
Yeah, we just went through this, Tim.
I wasn't here. I told you guys.
You were at the background going, watch out.
There's a DUI coming through. Yeah. Oh, next. Speaking of real quick, if I have you on Skype on my old account, message DASPUGGUI so I can add you to my new account because I can't remember the password to my old one. Motherfucker, turn down your mic. I'm deaf now, bitch. It is down. It's not down enough.
Not from here.
You weren't already deaf?
What?
Yeah.
If I wasn't deaf before, motherfucker, I'm deaf now, bitch. So out next, Zack Ryder, and after that, Triple H.
I like how you didn't give me time to sing.
I do everything I can to make
sure
like you
that
don't.
Too.
Yeah. In the ninth spot, Drew McIntyre. And then in the tenth spot, Ted DiBiase. And, the hell with it. The 11th spot, we had Morrison, Kane, and 12. Cody Rhodes, number 13. Number 14 was supposed to be MVP. He got ambushed by The Miz. And then Carlito was out in number 15. 16th spot went to The Miz.
Hold on, Tim.
Yeah, we're going to stop you, Tim.
Okay.
I'm trying to adjust my settings. Is that any better?
No, that's worse. Just as bad.
No, shut up, Tim.
You're not being helpful, you fucking Canuck. I'm asking seriously. I literally have a brand new computer, and I'm trying to get the settings worked out.
Yeah, no, pull your microphone away from your face.
It is very away from my face. I'm trying to find the settings. I've never messed with Windows 7 before.
Okay, well, I've never messed with Windows 7 before either. You're going to have to find the...
It should be somewhere in the audio panel.
I'm finding the audio file. I'm trying to. That's why Rock kept trying to call me in. I'm like, stop calling me. I don't know where everything is yet. Hold on.
Okay, here's the thought. Instead of dicking around with your goddamn Windows 7 settings and volume control and bullshit, just open up Spike, click on Tools, go to Options. When the thing pops up...
I already did that. Turned it down all the way, and it was that. You said it was still loud. I did turn it down before I even spoke up.
I have to find the settings.
Did you get rid of the check mark that says let Skype control my audio?
Yes, I did.
Put the check mark back in there.
I'm willing to bet somewhere in the volume mixer he's got audio boost on.
I'm fighting it. Keep talking.
Oh boy. Okay.
He's
so
trying to be cooperative with us here, guys. Give him a break.
That's really, really weird, and you know should do it like not on the show. But anyway,
really, if I was Spug, I would keep talking just despite you, Tim.
Well, that's just you. You know, he does anyway, so. You wanted to stop me here so you could talk about Miz and after Miz came out?
Well, first, I was going to say, I was surprised Carlito still has his job.
Okay, how is that?
Perfect.
Perfect! And Omega was right. The microphone boost was on.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Continuing on.
Wait, Mace had something to say.
No, Mace had nothing to say.
Oh, well then I'll throw in that's a great way for them to continue the Miz MVP feud is the way they did it. Miz attacks MVP before he gets to the ring, then MVP eliminates both of them. But you know, MVP said he was going to do, if he did anything in the Rumble, he was going to eliminate Miz.
Yeah, well, I don't think he meant to eliminate himself at the same time, but I just want to get all of the entrants out here, and then we'll take a look at what happened.
Okay.
After Miz, Matt Hardy came out at number 17. Number 18 was the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And at number 19, John Cena, Shelton Benjamin at 20. 21 was Yoshitatsu. Big Show came out at 22. 23 was the World's Strongest Man, Mark, Kentucky Fried Chicken Eater Henry. His Henry. There you go. Number 24, Chris Masters. R-Truth at 25. 26, Jack Swagger, the All-American, American, 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 American.
He sounds American. so much like Dusty Rhodes. Like Dusty Rhodes.
Without the accent, just the lisp. 27 is Kofi Kingston.
And actual wrestling ability.
There you go, yeah. 28th is Y2J Chris Jericho, and the apparent surprise of the night that was guarded by WWE with them locking down the back as much as possible to keep the secret as they could, the returning Edge at 29. 30, of course, Dave Batista. And there we go. The first seven out, boom, we don't need to worry about them too much. It really pretty much picked up and kicked off with that subplot that they were continuing with MVP and The Miz. And, yeah, no, this was good. Too bad they had to both be eliminated, but it works really good.
I think it worked for with what they were trying to do with MVP. I mean, a few weeks ago in Raw, he said, if it's the only thing I do, I'm going to eliminate you. And then with Miz beating him clean and then beating him up before he hit the ring, MVP wasn't worried. It showed MVP wasn't worried about WrestleMania. He was worried about Miz. And he was willing to sacrifice his shot at Mania to make sure Miz didn't get a shot at Mania.
Yep.
And that's a good dynamic for their feud.
Oh, absolutely. Omega, any thoughts?
There was a moment in, or are we still going with MVP and exclusively, or?
Well, we're on that tack. We might as well go ahead.
I know. Once again, yeah, it's all fine by me. I mean, it continues the feud. The feud does have legs, and I do like that MVP was very serious about his promise. I mean, I thought that was a great way of continuing the feud.
Mm-hmm. Mace.
Generic compliments to Miz and MVP. Pretty much.
Okay, that works.
I was surprised I ain't done. I was actually surprised with R-Truth deciding to eliminate Big Show and Mark Henry, who was attacking Big Show like he owed him a bucket of chicken. And then there was the black-on-black crime of Kofi Kingston and R-Truth later in the night that got us laughing, at least from the comments we were making in the chat.
Yeah.
I'm done now. Spoke can go now.
Okay. Am I the only one that laughed really hard when Mark Henry's fat ass fell on, I believe it was John Morrison's face?
I missed that.
Yeah.
Somebody
I didn't see that.
Somebody hit Henry with some sort of DDT, and right under Henry when he fell, stomach first, was John Morrison, I believe. And I was like, oh my God, poor John Morrison. Like, ouch.
His face, his multi-million dollar face.
And the only thing I could think of when Mark Henry and Big Show were in the ring at the same time was, Jesus Christ, it looks like a couple of Tyrannosaurus Rexes trying to sumo wrestle.
Well, there were a couple of botches in the Rumble tonight. Another one that happened, Shawn Michaels had his head landed on in the Rumble too.
Triple H
fucking Cena. Oh, look at me, my six moves of doom against two people because I'm gonna waste my entire arsenal in the first minute in the Rumble. Oh, look, here, Triple H, land on your best friend's head.
Yeah. There was a moment in the Rumble match where Shawn Michaels was trying desperately to pull the Big Show over the top rope from the ring apron, and I was sitting back screaming, "Kiss him! It's the only way!"
Well, you know, when Henry was trying to take out Big Show, I was like, oh my God, how is that side of the ring still intact?
Mm.
Yeah, double reinforcements.
They were on the ropes, and like the ropes were somehow going.
speaking of Shawn Michaels on the outside of the ring, when that whole elimination went down with Shawn Michaels getting thrown out, and Batista was standing there staring at him, I swear to Christ, the only thing I could think of was the buzzard, the dumb baby buzzard from the Warner Brothers, the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah.
And just Batista sitting there saying to himself, dope, 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 I screwed up. I did a bad thing, George. Dope, 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 dope. Because you could tell. I mean, you could tell that whole elimination was botched. I don't think Shawn Michaels was supposed to get eliminated right there, or at least not in that fashion.
No, I think it happened with Cena and Yoshitatsu as well. And also, yeah. How many times did you almost have a heart attack tonight, Will, with Shawn Michaels almost being eliminated?
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to take the moment to stroke Shawn Michaels' dick here. Shawn Michaels is a fucking phenomenal performer. His appearances in the Rumbles are great because he makes you believe he can win. Every time he got near elimination, it looked like, you know, it was close, and you were like, oh, God, no, no, no. And it just attests to the fact that despite his ego in the past and whatever ego he may have now, the guy is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
The match at WrestleMania 21, Angle versus Shawn Michaels, I had seen it a few days after WrestleMania because I wasn't able to watch it. I knew the results. Watching that match, knowing the results, I still thought Shawn Michaels could win. That guy is that good that even when you know the results, he gets your hopes up.
There you go.
I thought he had one of the best spots in the whole match where him and Edge were on the outside trying to pull each other off and ends up super kicking Edge back into the ring so hard he was out cold for a good 4 minutes.
That was fucking fantastic. I love Sweet Chin Music.
Oh, forget Sweet Chin Music. That was just a great spot right there. You know, he super kicks him, tries to get him off, but he super kicks him so hard and the wrong way, throws him right back in the ring.
Not only that, they hit us with the surprises early when Shawn Michaels hit Sweet Chin Music on Triple H when it was him, Cena, and
it was just the three of them.
Yeah, it was just the three of them. You know, you weren't expecting Triple H to be gone that early, and Shawn Michaels just put his ass out.
I reckon Shawn's been playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2010 with that elimination.
There you go. Yeah, no,
plus,
watch.
Also, we have to give props to Little Nate getting his teeth removed from his jaw after Shawn Michaels' elimination.
Oh,
That was good of him to take the super kick. Yeah, so the first surprise, the first real surprise of the Rumble, okay, if you want to count Beth Phoenix kissing Kali out of contention, then the second real surprise was HBK going after Triple H just like that, instead of basically teaming up with him to eliminate together as many people as they could have. I expected that. I expected them to go deep into the Rumble before they turned on each other. And I did not expect one to actually succeed in eliminating the other. So I guess you could say that was the next major surprise in this one.
You know what I love? I'm just going to stroke some more Shawn Michaels' cotton.
Oh, goody.
You know, well, if we're, you know what I like about the Sweet Chin music? And I think a reason why it is so popular isn't because of the guy who uses it, but because of its unbelievable versatility. Shut up, Boos. It's just, it's a really versatile move. I mean, we've seen it when he eliminated Triple H. We've seen it when he hit three guys in succession with Sweet Chin music. He is a guy, it's a move you can, it's like the diamond cutter. You can hit it out of nowhere, and it's just got a great impact every time.
Salient.
Vintage. Will, take a shot.
There you go. Vintage.
Okay.
Don't sound like you're upset you got a drink.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
That's like, yeah, Randy, that's like Randy Orton being the most loved face of the last year. No, nobody will buy that. So, but, yeah, so that's surprise number one. Or, well,
that one was sitting there for a while. Whew.
The next surprise in the Rumble, Shawn Michaels snapping after he gets eliminated.
That was brilliantly done. Masterpiece. Even though Michaels didn't win the Rumble, he was the guy to watch in that damn show.
I think it was
That snap was absolutely brilliant.
I don't think the snap itself was so much the surprise as it was the way Michaels got eliminated, because he was right there on the ramp, or the ring edge, and Batista hit him one time after he had knocked Edge out of the ring, and you just kept going, all right, he's not going to get eliminated, he's going to save it, and then bam, he's gone. Like, he loses his grip, and your heart just breaks, because you're like, aw.
I think you're the only one that went, aw.
You know what, I'm not afraid to burst my inner mark, you jaded fuckers.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with stroking your inner mark. Just make sure you do it with the bathroom door closed and clean up afterwards. That's all. Somebody in the background laughing, Will?
That's Lauren, the one whose computer has been bumming for the last few weeks.
And I figure she's laughing. It's funny because it's true. He does do that, but doesn't clean up afterwards. Think the guy from
See,
Family.
We've been trying to get her onto these shows for the last couple of weeks because she sounds more entertaining than Will does.
I think she'd be funnier than him, yeah. Give her the mic, Will.
Oh, fuck you all. I will sing, okay?
Oh,
God, no.
Moving on, he said really quickly. anyway, yeah, so the big surprise that everybody was expecting.
Tony O wants me to sing.
On this day,
Tony O is Tony.
Clearly.
But Tony O is fucking retard too, so.
Yeah, he is, but let's not hold that against him too much. The supposed biggest surprise for the Rumble tonight, on this day, I see clear.
And really, Edge, we couldn't give a crap.
Edge making his return. No real surprise with us. We kind of sort of speculated it ad infinitum. And congratulations to Randy for calling Edge winning the Royal Rumble. I made.
You know, I told Randy when he made a pick for Edge to win the Rumble, I think I told you the same thing, Tim. I told you all you were retarded.
You did, and as a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I brought it up, and I gave you guys a complete scenario right into Mania, right into WrestleMania, and it started with Edge making a surprise appearance near the end of the entrance winning the Rumble, going on and doing his thing.
And we all were like, Tim, you're retarded. And
yeah,
then,
but at the same time, you got to realize, I think WWE were listening to us over the last couple of weeks, because for a long time there, it was looking like my prediction of co-winners of Cena and Michaels was going to come through.
Yeah.
They must have been listening to us.
It was damn close. But you know what? I'll tell you what. 888-357-9876, option number one. Randy, you're in the chat room. You can back me up, bro, because you and I...
It's almost time for Randy to call in anyway.
That's true. It's almost 12:30. Randy, you and I both said something about you watch Edge will return at the Rumble and win it. So, Randy, call in and back us up on this one. And,
you know, I called y'all retarded, and I will eat my words gladly.
I want you to eat goddamn
words.
That's
only because you didn't have to chug for Cena win.
Technically, okay. I drank my words, but let's not get into the...
For a month straight, off and on, here and there. Practically. I've been telling you guys, this is what's going to happen. Watch what that's... what you'll see it. Check this out. It's going to happen. And I laugh at Maverick for predicting that TNA was going to do a 0.6 to a 0.9 for last Thursday, he said, getting off target. But just wrapping it in is all the other people I laugh at because they disagree with what I said. I told them they're going to do at least a 1.3. What did they do? They got a new Thursday night record, 1.4. So, guys, I continue to have the last laugh because it looks like things that I say happen more often than they don't. You should pay freaking attention.
Well, not stroking your ego either, but you know what? You were right. Randy was right. And watching Edge eliminate Cena after the entire time, Mace was going, better chug, Will. Cena's going to win.
Oh, that's hilarious, yeah.
It was fucking fantastic.
Just one word, line after line. Chug, 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 chug. Anyways, what? All right, hey, everybody, we got a caller, and you know who the hell this is. Randy, welcome to WTRC tonight. Back me up, brother.
This
Randy,
where you talk.
Speak into the microphone.
It was. I know I couldn't hear it for a second, but I'm here. I missed the Rumble, though, but... Well, what the, now I'm not even going to rub it in. It's
No, rub it in.
This is your time to shine, son. You called it. You called it. You and I agreed to it at one point in time. You're backing me up when you rub it in. So rub it in because
you
these
know?
Guys said that that was retarded and it wasn't going to happen. It
you
happened.
Yeah.
Rub it in.
Yeah,
all my predictions were right from yesterday. Well, I didn't know about the MVP mismatch, but fuck that.
No one did.
All of them that I wrote on that column and said on CB Radio last night were right.
Yeah.
It was a different opinion, but still, right nonetheless, the winner.
Yeah, I went on CB Radio last night. I called Randy retarded when he said his pick. And you know what? I was wrong. I'm glad I'm wrong because I'm a big Edge fan to begin with. And Edge eliminating Cena was the highlight of my fucking night. You know what?
It's all right. It's
Randy,
all right.
Kudos, Tim.
No,
I'm a happy man despite being wrong.
I would like to officially name Randy our second Negro mascot of the WTR network.
Is Randy black?
Randy
yeah.
is dead. Randy is as black as the Mexican night.
Why do you gotta be Mexican just because I'm from El Paso? What the fuck?
Whoa! No.
I'm just playing.
No. Time out. No. He's not the Negro mascot, the new or the second Negro mascot for WTR. You know what, Spug? You're the cracker mascot for Randy.
I don't care. He can be my Negro buddy.
There you go. So that's all I gotta say.
If he was a midget, then it'd be perfect for Spug.
Oh, my God, a black midget, I'd be in heaven. Oh, the jokes, they'd be endless.
Randy, do you know any black midgets?
No, not
here. How tall are you?
6'2".
Okay, you're just, forget it. You don't even make the quarterfinals.
Why the fuck are you not playing basketball?
I don't know, just, I'm all right at it. I'm not, like, the greatest. I'm, like, maybe average for black, if anything.
Oh, my God. There's the stereotype again. What, because you're black, you got to be good at basketball? What's the problem with your ass, motherfucker?
He's black! He's like, you put a ball in his hands and he's good at it. It's either a gun or a basketball. Your choice.
There you go. Well, and the other thing is, if we were going to dub him the a mascot of African American background, he wouldn't be the second one. He'd be the first one. You're thinking,
no,
Mike. Mike's white.
No, Mike is most definitely black.
No, Mike is white, man.
No,
have you
ever
listened to that boy? There's a reason he calls himself an Oreo. He's only black on the outside.
He's very black when you get him going. He's very black when you get him going. Trust me, I pissed him off the other day on purpose to see how black he got.
I love Mike. Mike's great. He's a fantastic guy. And
welcome to Racism Talk Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it has to be something else.
I'm probably one of the least racist motherfuckers on this network.
And Chris Jericho hasn't even said anything for us to trigger this talk.
There you go. Chris Jericho is not responsible this time around. So, Randy, now that we got you on here, brother, what do you think of the you said you didn't watch pay-per-view tonight?
Yeah, because I could even bring my laptop over there. I was busy watching the Grammys.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man, apparently Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live is in the chat room right now, and for the record, he's not a racist either. He apparently caught the Grammys, too. And is it true Pink was looking really delicious, almost naked?
Oh, yes, she was looking fine.
That must have taken a lot of makeup and a lot of work.
You missed the Rumble.
For the Grammys?
I didn't have my laptop, and I couldn't order the pay-per-view over at the house.
Wait. You send us the great debate of...
Yeah, I know.
And you know what? You know what?
You just lost your black card.
You don't even get to vote tonight. Get the hell out. Go get your bucket of fried chicken and sit with Mark Henry and cry.
Ouch.
Ew.
God. I think we should just let Spud go. I think we should let Spud go and play with his midgets. And I think we should take our next time out of the evening.
Are we going to rate the Rumble?
We'll rate the Rumble on the other side of this timeout. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Feel free to give your opinions. Call in 888-357-9876, option 1, or Sir Rockin' on Skype. We'll be back right on the other side of this timeout.
I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk. They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
I am perfection!
This is Mace from WrestleTalk Radio, the real, true voice of wrestling on the Wild Talk Radio Network, telling you to tune in to that little pretender program on Real Radio, known as Running the Ropes with Maverick and Nick, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and KJCC, some sort of terrestrial radio, but frankly I don't care.
I'm sorry, I like that song. Yeah, we're here for a good time, everybody. Just a little bit of a reminder. We're here for a good time, not a long time. So have a good time because the sun don't shine every day. It's Sean tonight on the Royal Rumble. I don't give a fuck what all you smart marks. Oh, it's because it's WWE. Fuck you, okay? You got an opinion. I'm glad you got an opinion. I liked the Rumble overall. The Rumble match itself, A+. Will.
A++, because you know what? Cena didn't win!
Yes! Omega!
I'm gonna give it an A, if only because I wish the ring had piled up a little bit more. I'm used to seeing more than four or five people in the match at one time.
Okay. Mace.
I'll give it an A for the same reason as Omega. I expect the Rumble to have more people in the ring at least one point during the actual match itself, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the way that they set things up. Drew, Spud.
I'm going to give the Rumble overall an A. I think from start to finish it was very good. It set up a lot of stuff to lead into Mania and to lead into the next pay-per-view, which is Elimination Chamber on the 21st of February. So I think the road to WrestleMania is actually going to be quite fun this year. I know I'm going to watch Raw tomorrow night, not only for William Shatner, but the first.
I'm calling it now. Santino Marella comes out as a red shirt tomorrow night.
And gets killed in the ring in a squash.
Of course.
I'm not only going to, you know, watch it for Shatner, but I'm going to watch it for the first the first little vignette of the inductee into the Hall of Fame, which I think is going to be, which I think might be Stu Hart, since Bret Hart's going to be there tomorrow night.
Well, they have not announced officially any inductees at this point in time. It's already known that Stu Hart is going in. He's going to be the first named one. Yeah, it's going to happen tomorrow night. And
that's what I was saying, Tim. I don't like to look at the list. Omega will tell you, because he's sent me lists before of who's going in, and I don't like to look at them, because I want to see the vignettes and be surprised at who's going in.
Well, it's kind of the same reasons why I don't read spoilers for the tape shows. And when I hear people talking about it, you know, on the net, I just want to wring their fucking necks. If I wanted spoilers, I'll go out and get them. Shut the hell up.
Hey, Tim, you know what happens on TNA this week?
Not yet. They taped it last Tuesday. So shut up, Mace. I'm actually starting to get into TNA again, and
you goddamn retard.
Well, there you go.
Can I say something about TNA real quick?
Yeah, what the fuck? Go ahead.
This has been on my mind since I watched it this Thursday. They already have a bunch of problems, WCW did, but now they have a big problem, WCW did. They have too many stars and not enough airtime. We went through 2 weeks of Impact now with no Joe, no Beer Money, and only one of those episodes featured champions like Amazing Red and Eric Young. Those are champions. They should be showcased somehow on every show. And we've not heard from Eric Young since last week, and we did hear from him the week before or the week before that, which is fucking ridiculous.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Not only is TNA going to be moving to Monday nights, alternating a live show with a tape show to go at least 1 hour overlapping with Raw starting the 1st of March, they're also
getting... Where's the proof, Tim? That has been changed so many times. Where is the proof of this move? Everybody's saying TNA is going to Monday nights. Nobody has fucking proof.
They're also getting a second show, and this is from my industry insiders.
Well, you know what? I hope so.
Proof. Not your industry insiders, Tim. Give us something we can fucking reference ourselves rather than have to rely on you.
I hope so, because there is no reason that a guy like Joe, a guy like Beer Money, and two champions shouldn't be on the show. That's just fucking ridiculous. Okay, that's all I have about TNA.
Okay, there you go.
Oh my god, is this what sobering up feels like?
Yeah, have another drink, Bill. Have another drink, stay drunk, avoid the hangover. But there it is.
Paul's always drunk. Holy shit.
So, there it is, the 2010 Royal Rumble in the books. We've got him on the phone still. Randy, really quickly, if you had watched it instead of the Grammys, what would you have given it?
Probably A+.
There you go. Just based on what we said, you know,
yeah, go grade the show you didn't see.
There you go. Grade the show you didn't see. Half the websites out there do that as it is. You know, half the people that claim to watch wrestling but never do, they do the same damn thing. So why not let Randy do that? Anyway, there it is. Time to move on. It's time to get into the WTR Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, here we go. Normally, we do the great debate before the quick hits, but I decided to do some booking on the fly. We're going to do quick hits, and then the great debate. So, everybody, don't
Tim
forget.
Tim Stein, you and Eric Bischoff.
Here you go. The Rock versus Batista and Ric Flair taking on Yokozuna in the WTR Squared Circle. Coming up right after the quick hits tonight, we're going to start off with, Will, your question. Who is the most underrated WWE superstar to never hold the WWE or world title?
Wait, hold on. I'm sobering up. Wait, Quick Hits is now? Okay.
Yes, you've got a non-TNA question.
Sorry, I was expecting the great debate. Yeah, Rock was a dick, and when I was on CB Radio, he went, oh, well, this is Will's question for Sunday, you fucking faggot. Well, what I told Rock is, last night, is, you know, there's always those superstars that were great that never got that world title, guys like Mr. Perfect, Ted DiBiase, that, and I told him one of the first I would say would be Christian, but luckily Christian in his TNA run got the NWA title twice, which, whether or not it's TNA isn't the issue, he's still now in the same lineage as guys like Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Ricky the Dragon, you know, all that. If we're only singling it to WWE, I would put two names. Christian, because he's not main event yet, and Ted DiBiase, because, three names. Andre the Giant, that's another guy who should have, you know, gotten some sort of run with the world title, and not that 47-second one. Okay.
Okay, are you done?
Maybe.
Okay.
Oh, man, I hate sobering up. Oh.
Have another, take another. Hey, Will, Vintage! There you go. Omega!
Now you know why Scott Hall doesn't do it.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Omega, your first question of the night. What do you think of TNA possibly moving to Monday nights on a permanent basis?
I think it'd be absolute suicide at this point. Yeah, they've gotten some success running against Raw, but that's because they booked the hell out of the show, and they were able to do it live. I'm not sure they could pull off a live schedule so far. If it was, then maybe. They might stand a chance, and if they had the hour jump on Raw, again, they might be able to make some bit of an impact. That being said...
Pardon the pun.
But I don't think they have the draw or the audience yet to really pull in something on a Monday night against the big boys. I think if Hogan and Bischoff can cut this shit out and actually make something out of TNA that doesn't resemble WCW, then maybe they can jump to Monday. But for now, it wouldn't work.
Okay, there you go. Next up, Spud. Who's the greatest wrestling announcer of all time?
I think you gotta go with Jim Ross.
Really?
Yeah, Gordon Solie was great. I loved Gordon Solie, and I loved Gorilla Monsoon. And Bobby Heenan had, but I tell you what, there is nobody, and I mean nobody, that I would rather have call a main event at WrestleMania, or a main event anywhere for that matter, than Jim Ross. I think one of the best matches that he ever called was the Chris Benoit, the Chris Benoit at WrestleMania 20. Because the ending when Benoit and Eddie were out there hugging, it was fantastic.
Okay.
And he made that moment. He made that moment so much better. I've not heard anybody that can convey the emotion in the arena through a television to the person who is watching it, you know, thousands of miles away, and
uh-huh.
make you feel like you're sitting at ringside watching it.
Okay. Well, you know, this question is for you, and you can pick Jim Ross. I can understand why you'd pick Jim Ross. I can't disagree with you 100%, but I'd also put Joey Styles, Gordon Solie, and Ed Whalen up there.
Hold on. Joey Styles is a great commentator if you want strict, complete and utter, move-by-move commentary. He's great as that. He's great at that. Gordon Solie was as was, you know, who mentored Jim, and Jim learned from him. But I think if you want the complete and total package, Jim Ross just, he encompasses everything.
Okay, well, there's your answer. Moving on, Mace, finally. Who would win an actual street fight, Chris Jericho or Hurricane Helms, and why?
Who would actually win the fight? To be honest, I reckon that it'd just end with them punching each other to the point that they both go stupid, collapse in a heap, and then just start laughing about it together and then go have another bloody drink.
And well, they get out by CM Punk.
Yeah, isn't that what they did on Thursday?
Pretty much. And there's no other way it could have gone down, because I couldn't see either of them beating the crap out of each other to a point where one of them actually wins.
Oh, there you go. They're play fighting in the back of the cab. Some girl in between them. I don't know who she is or what she's doing there. She accidentally gets elbowed.
Ring rush.
Show up. You know, yeah. Bingo. So there it is. Okay, back up to the top of the list. Will? William Shatner's going to be on Raw tomorrow as the host, guest host. Who's your favorite Star Trek character?
That's a hard one. Because I just like little... I mean, I like them. I like a lot of them, and I like little bits of their characters, like when Worf and Data are like trying to go through human stuff, and it just ends up being comedy.
Okay, you had to go Next Generation and all that stuff, and not classic Star Trek, you know, the original series that William Shatner...
You didn't specify. Star Trek? Just Star Trek. Is it
fine.
Just Star Trek, the original series?
Well, okay, you know what? Because you opened it up and you caught me, just pick one fucking character.
You know what? Just despite you, I'm going to say the red shirts.
Okay. Well, you know, I can understand that. It's fun watching them all get killed in the first 5 minutes.
So. I mean, if you went by series, the original series would be Bones and Next Generation would be Data.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a surgeon, not a wrestler. Yeah. Right, Omega.
Are you happy, Tim?
No, I don't really give a fuck one way or the other. Omega.
God damn it.
Shut up! Omega, if you could trade lives with a wrestler for 1 week, who would it be?
RVD.
No, because he's unemployed.
Well, he's self-employed.
He's self-employed, but you know, I can't actually hang out with RVD if I am RVD. It kind of defeats the point, you know?
Your RVD love kind of sort of becomes twisted even worse than it really is.
Incredibly, yes. But
okay,
that's a tough question. Jeez.
Well, why don't you pick Sabu? I mean, you know, they hang out and smoke bowls all the time.
Yeah, but I don't want to dive headfirst into a steel chair every night for a living.
Okay.
Even if it is just for a week, and super glue my jaw shut again. Oh, that is really hard. I bring the name up a lot, but I'd probably go to Chris Jericho if only because I think he's I think he's got one of the most interesting roles in the WWE right now.
You gotta like Sir Rockin's answer.
No, there's the answer. I'd be John, if I could John Malkovich anybody for a week, it would be John Cena, so I can make him run in front of a bulldozer. Just for you, Will.
And then jump out of the back of his skull just as the bulldozer hits.
I would time it just as the week ended. You know, I got 10 seconds left, and I throw myself off a skyscraper.
Okay, there you go. Spug, if you could trade lives with a celebrity for 1 week, who would it be?
If you could trade lives with a celebrity for a week, who would it be?
That is the question.
It'd be a midget.
Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell. That
chin. Yes.
That dude has got to get more pussy thrown at him than Brad Pitt because he's fucking Bruce Campbell.
He's a two-hit wonder guy, and he's made a career out of 15 minutes of fame.
Absolutely. Dude, he gets referenced in so many different ways. I mean, come on.
That's a brilliant answer, dude.
He put a chainsaw on his hand and is immortalized for lines like, "This is my boomstick," holding up a 12-gauge pump shotgun. Really? I fuck being Brad Pitt or anybody. Give me Bruce Campbell.
There you go. Okay, shop smart.
Yeah.
Shop smart. Shop S smart. There you go, Bruce Campbell. Wow. Mesa, you ready?
Yeah, let me guess. Which TNA star would I trade lives with for a day?
No. If your favorite Star Trek character was a TNA star... No, kidding. Your real question is, do your best Captain James T. Kirk impersonation.
Yeah, okay, you got another question on backup, because believe it or not, I'm not a Star Trek fan. Don't watch it.
Just go fuck a green girl. It's close enough.
Tribbles!
Hey, the original Captain Kirk never had green alien sex. That was in the 2009 movie.
That we know of.
Okay, hey. Can you laugh like Mr. Sulu?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a Star Trek fan. I do not.
Okay.
I have seen a few of them. It's like years ago, but that's about it.
I can't believe, Mace, you haven't seen Star Trek yet, haven't you?
I have not watched the original series. I have seen most of the movies, but that was like probably about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I'm not a big Star Trek fan either. I saw the that movie that came out last year, though. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that movie was a sequel, was given the go-ahead based on the returns from opening night. That movie did really good. I'm looking forward to the sequel. I'll admit it, I'm a Trek geek. So you can't do Captain James. Okay, here's a substitute question. If a Star Trek character were to buy TNA, who would be the guy buying it?
A Star Trek character buys TNA, who would it be?
Data, because he does everything logical.
I was going to say Spock, because if anybody could try and bring retarded logic to all sorts of weird bullshit going on, it would be him.
No, you guys
die,
are both wrong.
He gets sent off onto a dead planet where he revives again all of a sudden for no fucking reason.
And you say you don't watch Star Trek. No, you're wrong. Maverick's got it right. It'd be Quark.
Well, then you should ask Maverick the fucking question.
He's not on the fucking show.
Fuck Mav.
Well, fine, Tim. You go to running the ropes and you fucking ask him that question.
Okay, that's your next week you're getting TNA questions. Hey, everybody, there it was. Quick,
that's all I fucking get.
You haven't gotten TNA questions in a week and a half of Sundays.
Oh.
Does that make sense? I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
Go to bed.
Okay. Well, time to move on to the great debate, everybody. That's right, the great debate. The Rock takes on Batista, Ric Flair versus Yokozuna. It's the WTR Great Debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate. From the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
It's Michael! It's Michael! It's... No! I can't believe it! 2 years in a row!
To the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
It's flying from behind! Oh, yes!
We are in search for the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
Yeah, the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. That's this edition of The Great Debate. And once again, thank you very much to Randy McWilliams, who happens to be on the phone, for coming up with this great debate. Randy, good job on this one. Guys, everybody, gals, everybody listening, tuned in, you can get in on it yourself.
Tim,
you got an idea for a great debate?
One quick moment, Tim.
What?
I think just worked out who Will's favorite is for this entire thing. It's now Edge. Because he eliminated Cena, so we can get rid of all of Will's votes from now on. Because it's going
to be.
Why
can't I turn this fan off?
Okay, continuing on. If you want to come up with a great debate for us to go through on the air, all you got to do is come up with your idea and submit it to admin@wildtalkradio.com. We'll take a look at it, and your idea to be the next great debate right here on WTR Sunday night. Starting off, we're going to go with The Rock versus Batista. And just because he gave me the suggestion, we're going to start with Will.
Oh, what? Oh, okay. Rock versus Batista. Let's see. Rock was 24th in his Rumble. Batista was 28th. Rock had a big, fun, little, infamous, controversial Rumble win where they're like, oh, his feet touched the ground. Oh, his feet didn't touch the ground. Oh, well, I'm the Big Show. I'm going to get video of it. Except I'm retarded and can't figure out there's more than one camera in the arena, so I'm going to get the only angle that you can't see his feet from. And that's a great four-way at WrestleMania 2000. Batista, on the other hand, is immortalized in his Rumble win by Vince McMahon blowing both his quads, entering the ring, and having to make the announcement that the match is going to restart between him and Cena while sitting on the mat going, oh my god, I pulled a Kevin Nash.
When
I'm
going to
go with The Rock, because...
Hang on, Randy.
I'm going to go with The Rock. One, because while The Rock's matches were very formulaic, much like most uninteresting faces, and that it's, look, I'm getting beat up, oh, look, a comeback, oh, I'm getting beat up, oh, my finisher, I win, Batista gets blown up a lot quicker than The Rock. Not only that, The Rock's more interesting. That in 2000 was a fun year for The Rock. Well, Batista, he won the title, and no one cares, because guess what? He got injured. Nothing new. So there, The Rock.
Okay, there you go. So 1-0 for The Rock. Omega, your turn.
Boy. This one's a little difficult for me. The Rock's win, yeah, I don't like when they do, well, one of the controversial endings to the Rumble where, oh no, his feet touch versus this, and they turn the Rumble victory into a secondary title with no actual physical belt. I cannot stand when they do that. And it led to the Fatal 4-Way main event for Mania, which is one of my most hated of all WrestleMania main events. Couldn't stand that one.
Because it turned into a McMahon feud again?
Yeah, because it wasn't about the title. It was about the fact that there were McMahons in every corner. Whoopee fucking do.
Woohoo!
So that one, no. No. I'm actually going to give it to Batista because I like the Rumble back when it was the stepping stone that someone right on the cusp needed in order to become credible, in order to get that last bit of momentum they needed to become credible for a world title. And Batista needed that. He needed the Rumble win, and that's what really picked up his career. It meant a lot more to him.
All right, so we're at 1-1. Boy, Mace.
Originally, I was inclined to give this one to The Rock because of the ending and the way it went. But I'm going to give it to Batista, not because of Batista's win itself, but the memory I have attached to it, which is one of my friends who is a gigantic Batista mark. This guy's like 6'8", you know, and he's sitting there in the lounge room watching it. Batista's won it. He's gone absolutely batshit crazy in, like, joy, hysterics and everything. And we had some kids over there. There would have been one of these kids was about 5. He was tiny. My mate leaps out of his chair, grabs this kid, and just starts shaking the absolute living shit out of him while screaming, yes! It's something that I found amusing, so Batista gets it just because he added to, like, one of the more amusing moments.
You know, if I had a guy like that, watching the Rumble, when Batista won, I think I would have voted for Batista, too.
It was absolutely hilarious. I wish I had been recording his reaction for YouTube. It was that good.
Give a kid shaking infant death. Batista won!
It was like, yeah!
Yes, he's on!
Oh! And the kid's just like, absolutely almost shit himself.
Batista shakes the ropes.
All right, so 2-1 for Batista, is it? Well, look at that. Wow. Spug.
I have to vote for The Rock because I believe one of the criteria that was given to us by Randy after we had picked our own criteria is what they did with their Royal Rumble victory. And, well, Rock has, he has two Royal Rumble victories, right? Is it one or two? I can't remember.
He has one.
He has one.
Yeah.
He has, however, main evented in WrestleMania twice. Once is the champion and once is the contender with in the Fatal Four Way.
Three times.
All right.
17.
Two of those were against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Two of the most memorable matches in WrestleMania history. Not that they were good, but they were very memorable. Batista's WrestleMania matches, however, have been slightly less memorable. It seems that just as Batista is getting his big push, he gets injured and is gone. The year he won the Rumble and went to face Triple H after getting kicked out of Evolution, I actually thought that was the crappiest main event match I had seen in recent Mania history. It's not that I'm not a fan of Batista. I think there's a lot of potential there with him. It's just that he's never utilized it in the right way. And, you know, you can't argue with the stardom that The Rock had while he was wrestling and what he did and the spectacle he brought to the grandest spectacle of them all in WrestleMania from the Rumble. I've got to go with The Rock.
Ooh, you just tied it up.
Spunk, real quick, wasn't Batista's Mania match very one-sided the whole match? Like, Triple H got busted open early, and then it was just Triple H getting beat down the entire match by Batista.
That wasn't the Mania match. That was the Backlash match.
Was it? Because I watched the Mania match, and I remember thinking, wow, Triple H looks like a bitch.
No, the Mania match was when Triple H got busted open.
Was it? Yeah. I thought that was the Backlash match. All right, well, then, yeah, you're right. See, you proved my point even further, Will.
No.
Yeah, because I thought the same thing as you, Spug. I watched that match and went, really? This is it?
Yeah, this is our main event?
Like, there was no way you watched it. You were like, well, with Triple H getting his ass kicked to this much, gee, I wonder who's going to win.
There you go. All right, hey, Randy, seeing as you came up with this thing and you're on the line with us, still kept you on for a reason, you're going to take my vote. What did Batista's Rumble win eventually lead to?
World title.
Yeah, world title. He actually won his WrestleMania that year in 05, beating, of course, Triple H.
Yeah. What, like, what else did it lead to, like, completely?
It pushed Batista into the main event spotlight.
Yeah. Now, what did The Rock's Rumble win ultimately lead to?
Another feud with Triple H, well, for the title, but...
Yeah.
Pretty much. He was already main event as is. It's just, he didn't even win the match. He gets it later at Backlash, but nonetheless, it was just giving him that record. Oh, he won the Rumble once.
Okay. So now you stop and you look at it. Who benefited more?
Batista.
What's my pick?
Now, if you were going to ask me, I would have gone with it too, Batista.
Well, you've taken my vote for this one.
Yeah,
it's you're the tiebreaker, son. So
wait! You're forcing your vote on. Vote for yourself. Vote for your goddamn self.
Okay, here's the ironic thing, Spug. All right, now my vote would be for Batista, but we're gonna let Randy make his own choice of his own free will. After all of that, so go ahead, Randy. Who are you gonna pick?
But yeah, I'm going with Batista because I look at First, I was going to think about going with The Rock, but then I thought Batista did, and Batista did a lot with that Rumble too, and it really, and that was the first pay per view I ever bought. Royal Rumble holds a little place in my heart somewhere, but yeah.
Okay.
Also, yeah, Batista did was pretty much in the held the world title that whole year, even though he was supposed to drop it, but then Eddie died, and
yeah.
But yeah, he pretty much held it the rest of that year. But then again, The Rock was in the main event pretty much every pay-per-view in 2000. But yeah, Batista really needed it, helped him elevate to that status. And yeah, I'm going with Batista here.
There you go. And that wasn't influenced by me at all. I already knew he was going to pick Batista. So there you go. Batista moves on in the first round. The next matchup, Ric Flair versus Yokozuna. We'll start off with you, Spug.
Ric Flair. Hands down, Ric Flair.
Uh-huh.
I believe the year Ric Flair won the Rumble, the winner of the Rumble got the WWE title.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what did he win? He didn't go to WrestleMania to wrestle. He won it automatically by winning the Rumble. Whose win meant more right then and there? Ric Flair's, because Yokozuna had to go to Mania to win it.
There you go. Mace.
I'm going to go by your logic, Ric Flair.
There you go. Mace.
I'm giving it to Flair, too, based on the fact that he did win the title, and he was in there one hell of a long time to do it. Personally, I think the whole stipulation that we've got for this of you taking their WrestleMania match into contention is fucking stupid, since technically the stipulation to going to WrestleMania didn't come until 93, which means you'd have to take Ric Flair out of this equation straight away. But regardless, I'm still going Ric Flair, because I didn't even remember Yokozuna won the bloody thing.
Okay, there you go. And the next guy up will go to... Yeah, let's go to Will.
Well, I think Mace is right in the WrestleMania stipulation, but Flair won the world title in his Rumble match. Not only that, he was the first guy to win it from as low as he was entered. Flair won it from number 3. Yokozuna won it from 27. Yokozuna's title match went to... WrestleMania, which one was the retarded
the fuck
yoga WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 9.
You mean
Mania
yoga.
9. And we all remember what happened. Did I say yoga?
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
so. How many shots yoga. Have you had?
You said yoga.
Enough. You knew what I meant. It rhymes with yoga. Anyways, it went to the WrestleMania where Bret Hart defends the title against Yokozuna. Yokozuna wins through sobering, god damn it. Yokozuna wins through
drink
salt.
Drink more, Will, drink more.
Shut up. Yokozuna wins through salt in the eyes. Yokozuna celebrates, and what does Hulk Hogan do? He comes down and goes, I'm Hulk Hogan, and I'm going to beat you. Those weren't his exact words, but that's what happened. Yokozuna lost his second title match at WrestleMania in the same night to Hulk Hogan in less than 2 minutes. What does that say for Yokozuna? At least, you know, Ric Flair, you know, he won the championship and done something with it. Even if he didn't do anything with it, that match at WrestleMania and the subsequent match after is enough to kick Yokozuna in the nuts and say, no, you're done. Ric Flair.
All right, Omega, 2-0.
It's going to be 3-0. I've got to vote for Flair, and for many reasons that have been stated.
Tim,
yeah,
stop drinking Will's alcohol.
He won the belt with his Royal Rumble win. That's always been noteworthy. So has the length. He went almost an hour. It was the record all the way until Benoit won it.
Okay, beat our number one.
And then went apeshit, so Rey Mysterio had to win it even longer to write his name out of the book, yada yada. So it was a really huge Royal Rumble win for both of those reasons. But aside from that, Yokozuna's win was ridiculous. I mean, the match end, for those who don't remember or too young to see it,
or too drunk to describe it accurately,
it's the worst Rumble ending ever. I mean, Macho Man has Yokozuna reeling, gets up to the top for the turn for the elbow drop. Yokozuna falls, he hits the elbow, and then he goes to pin him in the Royal Rumble match. Now, I can understand getting carried away, but it is the dumbest fucking circumstance to do it. And then Yokozuna, who just before the spot was completely gassed, throws Macho Man from his back all the way over the rope to eliminate him. It made no sense whatsoever.
You know, you just describing that makes me want to drink. That's how bad it was.
Chug.
Not to mention, he might have won the championship with his title, with the shot. He lost it a couple minutes later to Hogan, so it really kind of negated the whole thing.
Hmm. All right, Mace, is it your turn?
You already did it. I voted Ric Flair.
Wasn't Flair's
sure?
Rumble the one that was infamous for Psycho Sid eliminating Hogan and them going nuts? Because Hogan got eliminated.
That was Flair's Rumble, yeah.
No, I'm just trying to get one person, just one person to say Yokozuna over Rick. You're not going to do it, are you, Mace?
No, because I already voted Rick
Flair.
Well, your name's not Mace. Stop it. Randy.
Tim, listen to me. My name is Mace. I voted for Rick Flair. Shut up.
Are you not paying attention, Mace? Will is talking over you and answering the question I asked you.
Because he already said it already, Tim.
Shut up, Will. Randy.
Yeah.
Pick.
All right. Well, pretty much all the points have been said. Omega said what I was going to say about how Yokozuna won with the, just tossing Savage over there, but... Yeah, I put Ric Flair, what, number two, three, I'm forgetting now for a reason. He got from the number three position, won the Rumbles I've actually seen, too, and won the thing. I remember Bobby Heenan was saying, he was promising he wasn't going to do this and that if Flair actually won. Then Flair won, and he was just going ape shit over there. Also, Bob Backlund went longer than Ric Flair the following year, and then Benoit broke his record, but that's another story. But yeah, I'm still going with Flair. He won the championship in there, lasted a long time. A lot of people through it, all that. Better Rumble in 93, I barely remember that one. That's usually the one I forget that it was Yokozuna, so mm-hmm. Ric Flair.
Well, there you go. It's going to be unanimous, kids. Ric Flair moves on over top of Yokozuna. Yokozuna, a fantastic worker in the ring. And, he had some gifts as a wrestler, but none of that was really showcased in his Rumble win. So, you know, and like you said, Spud, what happened with Ric Flair with that victory? It wasn't for a title shot. It was for the title itself. So, you know, it's a pretty prestigious thing going in there number three and then staying in as long as he did. And being awarded the belt at the end of the night. So yeah, Ric Flair moves on.
Not only was none of Yokozuna's talents shown off in that Rumble, no logic was shown off in that Rumble.
Also, that Rumble was the debut of Giant Gonzalez, and we know how bad that was.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's a great time. Here's Giant Gonzalez. Oh, by the way, you're facing The Undertaker at Mania. Have fun.
Oh, come on. John Gonzalez was great for a laugh.
I want to say this before we get off the whole WrestleMania topic. I reckon next year we're going to see Big Show win it by launching Hornswoggle out of the ring. And Spud going
back. Fidget toss!
I'll be honest. I want to see Kane win a Rumble. Just once.
I wanted him to win anything lately.
Yeah, I don't care if he loses at WrestleMania. I just want Kane to be vindicated for once.
No, there's a local radio station here in Cleveland that Kane comes on quite frequently and does interviews on the morning show, and they've asked him, because one of the guys on the radio, on the station is a big wrestling fan, and they've asked him, you know.
Hello?
Did he just, like, get cut off?
No, he said they've come to him with great opportunities and great storylines and offers for, you know, championships, and he's turned them down because he likes what he does. He likes being home 4 or 5 days a week with his wife.
Oh.
There you go.
So we can only blame Kane? Wait, you mean he didn't turn down Katie Vick?
I don't know. But he
can try to have some big storyline over it, like, ooh, let's get back into wrestling. We lose the F. Now we're going to have Triple H rape some mannequin in a casket.
Kane said he likes where his life is. He likes being home 4 or 5 days a week. He makes damn good money. He says he gets to go to vacation wherever he wants, when he wants. He's good. He doesn't want the responsibility of being a champion. And good. I can respect him for that.
Yeah, that is respectable, because, you know, that shows he doesn't have ego, and he's willing to do whatever he has to for the company.
Well,
instead of everyone else.
Yeah, you know, to do that, he's got a pretty sweet deal with WWE to begin with, so,
yeah.
You know, more power to him for being able to do that. So there it is, guys, great debate. The Rock doesn't go anywhere. Batista moves on. Ric Flair in a squash, believe it or not, over Yokozuna next week. Another round of the great debate, the greatest Royal Rumble champion of all time. Just before we get out of here tonight, it's time for our version of the 2-minute warning, and we're talking about rant time. This week, Omega gets 2 minutes to go absolutely ballistic on whatever it is he wants to rail about. Omega, floor is yours.
Oh boy, 2 minutes. Let's see if what I have planned out can last 2 minutes. You know, I remember when the Royal Rumble let some up-and-coming stars get that last push they needed to reach the top tier, and now it's just an easy way to put an established star in a match without giving it a storyline. I mean, the whole year, WWE has been building up all these younger talents, getting them over, putting them right on the edge of greatness, and then they pull out faster than a virgin on prom night. Once upon a time, MVP was buried for as long as they could get away with, for the sole purpose of getting the crowd behind him for his eventual win. That was the whole point, to see if he could handle the pressure to become bigger than what he was. And tonight, he's got a good feud going on. He'll win that belt eventually, but he's still not showing anything of what they were going to push him to. And here's another one that pisses me off more than Lita with Lockjaw. Kofi Kingston had a great feud with Orton, smashed the NASCAR, very cool moments and matches, and now it's treated as just an annoyance for Orton. They don't even bring it up. CM Punk doesn't touch the world title anymore. John Morrison, completely overlooked these days. Nobody gets any attention like they need anymore. And all they want to do, and it really spits in the face when you have someone like Sheamus overlooking all of them, because most likely they're blinded by his skin tone. Tonight, the Royal Rumble's final five were all former champions. Nobody who needed the win, even Edge. He's great that he won, came back from a possible career-ending injury, built-in feud, but he needed it as much as Sheamus needs a skin bleaching. Did not need it whatsoever. Next year, I need it to have substance. I need it to be Christian or Miz or Morrison. It's got to be somebody that means something. And the Royal.
And you were afraid you couldn't go 2 minutes. Wow.
Well, that was right. That was right on the end. That was good timing.
Not bad at all. All right. So there's your 2 minute rant. Next week, who wants to go next, guys? Mace. Oh, well,
here.
I vote for Tim.
Well, you can vote all you. There you go. You can vote all you want. And once this becomes a democracy, then we'll talk about it. I'll let you know throughout later on in the week who gets to go next. next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio. Hey, it was the Royal Rumble. Not
real
exactly.
Quick.
What?
Real quick, I'll save my 2 minutes for the TNA pay-per-view.
Uh-oh. Okay, there you go. Not quite
that one, Will.
Not quite a battle for the ages tonight, but still very entertaining, very enjoyable Rumble. Solid B to a B+. Everybody, that's it. WTR Sunday night, we'll be at it next week. It's the Super Bowl edition of WTR, and all I can say is who dat? Who dat? The Saints gonna win.
You're out of your fucking mind,
no,
and I may
not
be
happening.
Here.
The Bears.
I'm only gonna go for the Saints because San Diego Loco will kill me.
I'm only going for the Saints because I want them to win it, and I think they can do it. They've got enough offense to be able to pull it off.
They
so,
don't have a fucking defense!
I'm going to go
this
for the team that'll piss most people
I'll
off.
Watch it, my God.
All right.
I'm
as this
fights more people.
There we go. As the show degenerates into a clusterfuck, we're getting the hell out of here. So join us for the Super Bowl edition of WTR Sunday night, next Sunday night. Mace, hey, we'll be able to keep you updated and informed on American football. So that'll be kind of fun. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Don't forget OWW Radio that's coming up Tuesday night. And right after that, OTL, Utaku Talk Live. A lot more programming happening later on this week. And, of course, we'll catch you next Sunday for some more Wrestle Talk, Wrestling Talk. Have yourselves a great week. We're out!
You have failed me for the last time, Michael Cole.
Oh, radio.
Fuck that.
I have heard.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.